Let us now turn to the Psalm 116. The 116th Psalm we read together. This is the inspired, infallible word of the Lord. Let us hear the word of God together. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Amen. This is God's holy word. We thank the Lord for his word. May he bless it to us this evening. May the Lord add his own blessing to that public reading of his most holy and precious word this night. Let us pray. Let us seek the Lord this night in prayer. The congregation, I turn your prayerful attention now. I ask you please to turn your attention there to the Psalm 116. And this evening, I wish to very briefly consider the verse 1, and also we'll consider something of that which the Lord does for his people in salvation. And in death, we shall see the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But it's first of all the verse 1 that I want us to consider this evening. As we come to this gospel sermon this evening, those of you who perhaps don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what we have here in the verse 1 is the expression really of the believer that has come to know the Lord and why he loves the Lord. Let us pay attention to what the psalmist says. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. And therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now this psalm is right in the middle of the section which we call the Hallel, beginning at the Psalm 113, from the Psalm 113 through to the Psalm 118, is that section commonly referred to as the Hallel, which would be recited and sung by the people as they went up that time of year of the Passover. And really these psalms from the Psalm 113 to the Psalm 118 have to do with salvation. That's one of the themes that the main theme which we find here in the Psalm 116, I'll take the cup of salvation, says the psalmist, and I'll give thanks to the Lord. This is really about salvation. Essentially, because of that great atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he would accomplish for his people, that he would come into this world. But I want you to notice, first of all, how the whole section begins from the Psalm 113. Notice with me, if you turn there to the verse 4, really, of Psalm 113. There is the view of who God is, first of all. If we're to properly understand salvation, it's not possible for man. Man is lost and has no hope in and of himself. There is a high, lofty God who dwells in sublime holiness and purity, high in the heavens. What is set before us in the verse 4 of Psalm 113 is God's holiness. Verse 4, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Just consider there for a moment, we're given a glimpse of the God of heaven who dwells in pure radiance and glory, unapproachable light. He who is uncreated light. God is in and of himself pure, high in the heavens. He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. God who is high in the heavens. Who can approach God? How can sinners be made right with a holy God? Has that ever entered into our minds, entered into our concept of who God is and who we are? And then we have the view, verse 7, this God raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. When we consider man is made from the dust, and to dust he shall return because of sin. But God made man a living soul, made in his image to be as God, made in his image, upright. God made man upright, but man sinned. Adam, to dust thou shalt return, for thou hast sinned, Adam. And then the dunghill. We think of a place of refuge. That is what we are. Our sins are a stench to Almighty God, who is pure, high in the heavens. But God raises men, as it were, from the stench of sin, the acridness of his vile, corrupt being, and he sets them amongst princes. It is amazing what God does for sinners. Think of the condescension of Almighty God. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. God sees heaven, and he sees earth, and he sees sinners. The scriptures say God looks down from heaven, and he sees that none are righteous. All have transgressed. All have gone out of the way. But look what he does. He lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Something in a dunghill is good for nothing, isn't it? Why? That he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. This is what God does in salvation. So when we consider this whole section, as they were to worship and to offer that Passover lamb, All of these psalms were sung and culminating. If you travel with me, we won't go through them, but it will close. If you notice the end of the section of the Heliel, verse 19, "Open to me the gates of righteousness." Psalm 118, verse 19, "I will go into them. I will praise the Lord, this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation." Now notice, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, or literally, Hosanna. I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, and so on. Now you notice as it closes, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God. I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now Peter, when he preached just shortly after Pentecost, he quoted some of these words. Maybe you wish to turn there. And I wish to show you how the scriptures interpret scripture. What do all these things mean? It speaks, when we have read here in the Psalm 118, of the stone which the builders rejected, which has become the chief cornerstone, that is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. The stone which is that cornerstone of the building, the church, is founded upon Jesus Christ. Now notice, after they had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, he has risen. Pentecost has passed, and now he's preaching to the multitudes of Jews. And he says to them in verse 10, "Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now notice, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." And Peter preached about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that chief cornerstone. He is the head of the building. There is no salvation in anyone else except the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the midst of this Halliel, as it were, the psalmist is crying out concerning this God who saves by his dear Son, who would come in the volume of the book, it is written of him, to do the will of the Father, to lay his life down as a ransom for many. This is the stone, friends, that I want to point you to tonight, who has always saved sinners in the Old Testament by his Spirit and by his grace, who would come. The Lord Jesus Christ said of Abraham, "Abraham saw my day and was glad." David believed that God the Father would put on his throne a king that would reign forever. That Psalm 72, verses 17 to 19 that we sang this evening speaks of that Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam, the great, eternal, everlasting King. "And men shall be blessed in him," forever blessed, Jesus Christ. Now I want to look at the heart of the prayer of the psalmist here in Psalm 116. And it really does get to the issue of how a saved person thinks. somebody that has been redeemed by God's grace. And let me say this before we come to the verse 1. The Psalms speak of Christ all the time. We've noted how Peter here, he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that the Scriptures, because not only do we read it here, but in Isaiah, we read of the stone which the builders rejected. Peter speaks of it in his epistle. Paul speaks of him in Romans chapter 9. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Remember, as he addressed those disciples on the road to Emmaus after he was put to death, and as he was raised on the third day, as he drew near to them, what do we read in Luke 24 on that resurrection evening? We read, as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood, Luke 24:36, in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise within your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said that the Psalms speak of him. And the Lord who saves is within this entire section here. Salvation is in none other than Jesus Christ. God, who is high in the heavens, the Psalm 113, who cannot look upon men, condescended, humbled himself, came into this world in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and was put to death upon a cross. But those who truly believe upon him cry out unto him. They come to hear his word, like the psalmist. And it's right here in this middle of this section, right in the heart of this section, that we hear the cry of the psalmist. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Supplications really means prayers. That's what it means. Because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Here the person, the psalmist, very often the Spirit shows us the heart of the psalmist. While it is God's inspired word, we are given a glimpse into the heart of a true believer here. And why is it that the person loves God? By nature, friends, we don't love God, do we? We don't love God. And that is a staggering thing. There is nobody by nature that truly loves God. If somebody ever comes up to you and says, I've always loved God, believe it, he's a liar. Because the Bible says by nature we are haters of God. People love their own kind of God, their own imaginary God. They make up gods of their own, not the God of the Bible. Not God that hates sin. But the psalmist's eyes have been opened up to his own sin, to the loftiness of God. You've got to read from Psalm 113, verse 4. To truly understand who you are before this God, And to truly love God, you've got to understand the heights He has condescended to meet with sinners. You cannot love this God unless you understand how filthy and undone you and I are in our sin. We belong in the dunghill with the rest of this world. And the psalmist says, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice. Here is the person who has come to realize who he is. Think of the man in the temple praying next to the Pharisee. All he could do was beat his breast because he realized who he was. Broken in heart. But this psalmist here, his eyes have been truly opened up to who God is. I love the Lord, God of heaven, that He should hear my pathetic, pitiful voice. Oh, many people pray, but they don't really pray to the God of heaven. Not to this God. They pray to their own imaginary God, to a stick, to an object, or to a God that is indifferent to sin, but not to the God of heaven. But I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice. I who was so unworthy, He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Me? What am I? David in that psalm, and of course it's inspired Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What did Job say? Man that is unclean. The sun and the moon, he says, blush in the presence of Almighty God. Friends, who are we before an infinitely holy God? But he says, but I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice. I wondered when I was young how a person could love God. A God they've never seen. And that's the problem, you see. People will not consider the Bible the God of the Bible. I wondered often how a person could love God, how somebody could have feelings for a God that he has never met. I used to wonder, was it a technique that you learn? Something you learn, something you develop, or something you need to work up. But friends, love for God is not part of our human nature, because we are born rebels against God. God tells us in His Word, in Ecclesiastes 7, that God made man upright, but He has made many inventions. Inventions of God, inventions of lies. He has deceived himself into telling himself he's good. But when God truly opens up our eyes, the God of heaven, who is high, as we think in Psalm 113, verse 4, lofty, the Holy One, and we who are on the dunghill, on, as it were, the scrap heap, ready for the burning refuse, we understand that. And that God should ever hear us, but we begin to love Him. But you see, that's where you begin. You've got to see who you are in comparison to this God. So separate. The scriptures say our sins have made a separation between us and Him that He will not hear us. That's what Isaiah says. We are all as iniquity. Isaiah says we are all as an unclean thing, and our iniquities have carried us away. Do we realize that? It's an amazing thing that the God of heaven should hear any of us. let alone that the God of heaven should come down. Because the Bible says, for to be carnally minded is death. This is what we are by nature. We hate God. We despise God. He says, the carnal mind is enmity with God. It's not subject to the law of God. And by nature, we reject God. We suppress the truth in unrighteousness. People think they love God, but they don't. They imagine they keep His commandments, but they don't. They're so far away from His commandments. They imagine they love God. They want His blessings, but they don't want God. People want heaven, but they don't want God. And I think of it. The psalmist says here, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice. Well, of course, God hears our voice every day. But there was a time into 26 years of my life that God never heard my voice to Him, truly. And that's amazing that God should love me at the age of 26 years after I lived my life in sin and separated from God, but then He should hear me. That's the God of grace. Imagine that. You should have a friend, or you should know somebody, and you don't talk to them for so long. But then you do, and then they receive you. Well, God receives the broken heart, the contrite sinner. Notice where the psalmist begins. Notice his prayer. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined my ear unto me. Therefore I call upon Him as long as I live. Now notice how the psalmist was thinking. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. He knew where he was going. He knew what he deserved. Hell. Wrath, separated from God. I found trouble and sorrow. My friend, the Word of God says, God draws near to the broken and contrite soul, but He sees the proud afar off. The Pharisee who said, I thank God I'm not like other men. I do this and I do that. I pay tithes. He was even proud of his prayer. That man did not go home justified. But the man who beat his breast, who saw that he was deserving of God's wrath, God heard his prayer. It was a simple prayer. God, what? Be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all you can cry, isn't it? It's all I can cry. I can't plead my good works. I can't plead anything. I plead His Son. That sacrifice for me, that atoning death for me, that is all I can plead, and that is all sinners can plead. You heard Peter's words. There is salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. But thank God there is salvation in Jesus Christ. All that come unto God by Jesus Christ shall not be cast out. My friend, do you see yourself as refuse? Do you see yourself as dung, belonging on the dung heap? Well, God, what God does in His amazing condescending love is He takes sinners from the dung heap of sin and sets them in heaven. This world is passing away. God has to destroy it soon. Peter speaks of the heavens and the earth melting with fervent heat, because God is coming in judgment to judge this world. But those who are in Christ shall not be judged for their sin. Those who believe upon Him are safe. Because God had predetermined to send the Savior into the world, that he should be that man who is a hiding place. You're either in two people, one of two people. You're either in Adam. If you're in Adam, you are in Adam by nature. You're born in Adam. But those in Christ will believe upon him in time. And God has predetermined that they should hear his word. And he translates them out of Adam and puts them in the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's what the scriptures say. The scriptures say he translates us. He literally takes us out of Adam. We're put into Christ. And he, as the psalmist says here, is become my salvation. And that happens in time. And the Lord hears the voice. He knows. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And he hears them. Isn't it amazing that God should hear my voice? I who disdained him. I who did not incline to his voice for so long. I remember as a young boy, this often haunts me. Going to boarding school. I knew nothing of the Bible. But we'd stand up and read every night the scriptures. And I never paid attention. I had no concern for these things. But one day, God spoke through his word and convicted my soul of sin and righteousness. And I was made to see that I was unrighteous. And the only righteous one is his dear son. And my only hope was him. And that's what God does in salvation. The psalmist sees himself here in a terrible place. Notice what he says. I found trouble and sorrow. Notice he says, the sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Not my body, but my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low. And he upheld me. He helped me. I wonder, sinner friend, has God brought you low to the end of yourself? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Has God brought us to so low to see that we are as grass? The grass withers, it's cut down, it's hewn. We are like the grass. We are just here for a short while. But the psalmist says, but the Lord has dealt bountifully. Why? Because I cried out to the Lord. Verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. That's not a physical death so much, but that of a spiritual death. Mine eyes from tears and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He says, I believe, therefore I spoke, I have spoken, I was greatly afflicted. Here is the one, the Apostle Paul uses this in 1 Corinthians with regards to a testimony. If you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you speak. And you tell what good things the Lord has done. Think of Legion. There is the Lord Jesus Christ crossing over the Lake of Gennesaret. And there is Legion. He comes out of the tombs. What induced him to come out of the tombs? Think of it. He was living amongst the dead corpses, cutting himself every day, every night, screaming, howling. Friends, that's what we were like spiritually. We were living amongst the dead, the spiritually dead of this world. But then our hearts were drawn out as legions was in affection to the Lord. And it's a very strange passage there in Mark chapter 5. You see him as it were, the demons are in him, the evil spirits, and yet he falls down and he worships and he praises the Lord Jesus Christ at the same time. Isn't that amazing? And that's what God has done for so many of us. He's brought us to see the Lord Jesus, and our eyes have been opened, and now we find ourselves worshiping him when so many in the world are lost, living amongst the dead. Are we not like with the psalmist? We praise God for the salvation that we now enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were once dead, the scriptures say, but now we're alive to God. And then we find Legion in the next moment sitting clothed and in his right mind. Behold, what wondrous things God has done for us. And he too, like the psalmist, believed. And he went round about the city telling everybody what the Lord had done. Remember how many people despised him because the Lord sent those demons, as it were, into the swine. And they were destroyed and they said, get out of the land, we don't want you here. They cared more about swine than about men's souls. Men who are made in the image of God. But you know, the Bible tells us that all the angels in heaven rejoice over even one sinner that is saved. Why? Because we're made in God's image. And God has saved us. And I want you to know, if you're not saved tonight, God is high in the heavens. Man has sinned and has fallen so low in his sin. And he is ready for the burning. He's in the dunghill. He cannot get himself out of there. But God comes and he speaks, not only in his word, but he comes into the world in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And he says, I am come to give them life. And he gives so many people life, true life now. I mean, those of you who aren't Christians, you've seen some people's lives changed. How do you explain that? You can only explain that by the power of God. People who were once proud, now you see them very different. That's explained by God, isn't it? God's humbled the soul. Notice, what shall I render unto the Lord for all the benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That's the Christian life now. He wants to thank God. We want you to know what God has done for us. And what makes us tick? What makes us think? We owe God so much. I will take the cup of salvation. In order for us to have a cup of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ had to drink a bitter cup. The cup of God's wrath and indignation against our sin. That was the only way in which God can save sinners. Christ had to bear every last dark drop because he is just. Because he is holy. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Now notice, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I used to wonder at that verse as a young Christian. What does that really mean? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Does God delight in the death of his people? No, he doesn't delight in the death of his people. But the fact is, when they die, they go to be with God. It's precious, because that's what Christ died for, that they will not go to hell, that they will not see wrath. But for those who believe not, the wrath of God abides on them forever. They go to be with God. Not just in heaven, but one day, their bodies, though their bodies go to the grave, and though the worms eat them up, as Job says, he said, "This in my flesh I know I shall see God and not another." The Lord Jesus said, "Marvel not, the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall come up out of the graves." That's what he died for. To take them from the dunghill of sin and hell, and to take them to glory, and to set them amongst princes forever and forever. There's no other salvation than this salvation. And it's through God's dear Son. To all who humbly repent and believe upon him. That's what the scriptures teach. He that believeth hath life. And except a man repent, he will perish. The psalmist poured out his heart to God. Verse 1. And the Lord heard his voice. Let me give you a word of assurance. If you truly, humbly confess your sins, God will receive such. But let me say this, he searches every heart that comes to him. There are many that pray, but they don't really pray. I remember when I started to pray, the Lord was drawing me out until I poured my heart out in true contrition and brokenness of heart. The Lord was saying to me, get honest with yourself, get honest with yourself, get honest with me. And I think so often people lie when they say, I've prayed to God, I've given up on all this. Because you're calling God a liar. God says very clearly, the soul who comes to him by the Lord Jesus Christ, he will not cast out. The Lord Jesus Christ said, all that the Father gives me shall come. And he that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. The problem is, people really haven't come humbly. May God humble your soul. The proud, God will see afar off. Those who think they need a little bit of God, a little bit of religion, God says concerning his people, my son, give me thine heart. And that's what God's people do by the grace of God, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, they do it. And they live a different life. I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant. Oh Lord, I want to be thine. I want to love thee. I want to adore thee. Thou hast loosed my bonds. What are those chains? Think of Legion. He was in bonds, wasn't he? Chains of iniquity. My friend, you can't do that. But God does it when you're saved. And he breaks the power of canceled sin. And he leads the sinner home. What a gracious God. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice. and my supplications. And you know, let me say, many millions of Christians down through the ages can say that. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice. Has God really heard the voice of a broken heart from you? Well, such He will not refuse. And God gives such a broken heart. May God work that in souls this night. Man is proud. You are proud. I am proud by nature. But may God humble every soul. Because God delights, friend, to show mercy. Those who see they have no need of Christ will never see Him, but shall see His judgment and His power soon. The one who was crowned humbly with thorns will soon appear in great glory upon the clouds of heaven and will be the judge of men. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way. But blessed are they that put their trust in Him. The psalmist said, I am glad. I love the Lord because He heard my voice. May God hear many voices tonight. May He humble and draw sinners to Himself by His grace. Amen.